Hi, it's Beth. I just turned 65. I've kept my mouth shut all my life, but I've decided I'm going to go down swinging, and I'm talking. Episode 26, November 10th, 2019. Hi, it's Beth. I've been off the grid for a little while. I mean, I could do movie reviews, but I couldn't talk about anything. I've got these triggers, or whatever you want to call them, especially about loss. And I told you before, I've got nothing in that department of any use to anybody. So this is what just happened. My neurotic border collie, Boris, he's very misunderstood, but a very nice guy. Anyway, he loves the car and he hates the vet. And unfortunately, he's prone to ear infections. So he had a bad one, and he was going back to the vet, which he knew because he can read our, he knows tension. It's like his neurotic dogs know tension, and he is really good at that. So Kit was going to take him because I'm cowardly, I suppose. And he's 14, so they were going to put him out, and that was scary. Well, as Boris was going, he gave me this look that I hadn't seen since, I hadn't seen it in like 35 years. And the last time I saw this very specific look in a dog's eyes was my dog Thor, which was many, many years ago. And it brought back this horrible moment. It was kind of the dark ages of medicine, and Thor had terrible hip dysplasia. He was a German Shepherd. And he couldn't, it was unbearable. So we had to put him down. But back then, you couldn't go in the back with your dog. The vet would take your dog, and believe me, we begged. And so it was this look that he gave me right before he was being led away. And Boris had that look, the very same look, and I hadn't seen it in all these years. And it kills me. So I just went down that rabbit hole. I mean, I'm talking to you, we're in our 60s, you've probably, unless you're incredibly lucky, have had some loss, and some of our losses are kind of unbearable, you know, I can't even speak about them. But this one happened, and something that, I mean, I'm sure you've read about it and everybody's supposed to do it, but I finally did it. I took this moment and I started thinking about Thor. And I started thinking about, it took 5 hours and 5 glasses of wine. Oh, that's a lot. Ooh. Okay, let's just pretend it was 2. Okay, so anyway, with all that effort, I started to remember stories about Thor. And we got off to a very bad start, he and I. He was 11 months old, 12 months old, crazy. He was my stepdog. And he had a teething problem. And he, this didn't really bother me too much. I mean, he ate a picnic table, a wooden picnic table. He was working on a tree in the backyard. And that was actually funny. But then he went after all my shoes. And that was the time of wooden shoes, heels, I don't know. He ate them all. And I took that in stride. Oh my God, that's a pun. Ooh. Okay. I took that in stride. I'm just saying. So, I did my best. And we might have had a chance. Except for one thing. And it was one major thing. If I got home early from work, he would run into the house, and he would poop in the living room. Just for me. Only for me. And I'm not even kidding. Kit would come home right after I cleaned it up, and the dog would be perfect. Mr. Wonderful. And Kit would make excuses like, because he never did it for Kit. He never saw the mess. Kit would say things like, oh, you know, we have a irrigation problem in the backyard, and he probably doesn't like to poop on wet grass, or he's just a puppy, or he was so excited to see me, or all these rotten excuses. Well, I was handling this. I was trying to control myself, which is my worst. I'm very bad at it. I was keeping it in, you know, like, okay, these are true things, you know, it's my stepdog, I have to give him extra, whatever. Anyway, I was doing it, and I was controlling it until this one night when Thor came into the house and did it right to my face. It snapped. Something happened. I am not proud of this, and I'm pretty sure it's against the law in this new century. But when he was finished, I tackled him. I started rolling on the ground with him. I was calling him every name in the book. I was blubbering things like, "You bastard, you enjoy this. It's not an irrigation problem. It's on purpose." I went on and on. I know this went on for a long time, and I have never been able, no one has ever stood still to let me vent my spleen. And I know I have a very large spleen, and this went on for a very long time. And I was pummeling him a little bit. I mean, I was losing my mind, going on and on and on. I'm ashamed of myself. But when I was done, the most amazing thing happened, and it changed my life. I actually broke through the canine glass ceiling. I understood what it was like to be a dog. He looked at me and he smiled. We're still on the ground. He smiled and he gave me a hug. And I smiled back at him. And we were like the same species. It was one of the most bonding experiences I've ever had in my whole life. Things were different after that. We never, ever again had one harsh word. He stopped pooping, of course. And We designed elaborate games that we played out by the pool. One of our favorites was this game where when Dallas iced over and we would see, if we could see a blue norther coming, and we would get excited. We knew what we were going to do. Because when that road got iced over in front of our house, I put the leash on him and he would drag me for miles. We would go so fast. It got to be such a game that we came up with fake words for new moves. We had moves like circle in the mailbox was like tone tone. We had these quick turns were like bing bing. We just had these amazing times. But things weren't always perfect with the guy. But those times were truly perfect. He wasn't always breezy. He was complicated and he had a dark side. And I could never see when it was coming. Something would come over his eyes and I could read it. And what happened was he had a sense of shame for some reason. And he needed to be punished. I'm serious. I know this sounds like, sadistic thing. But it was what he needed. He would take this dish rag off the kitchen sink, put it on the ground like 6 feet away, and then come trembling into the bedroom. And Kit and I, we both had to give him this. We would go into the kitchen, see the rag, and act like it was the worst thing that ever happened. And we'd yell at him until he was satisfied. We were that close. But, you know, I was pretty sure he was a Catholic. I mean, I have no idea. The guy, whatever, he couldn't have done anything wrong. He never got away from us. But he had shame. So, you know, what can you do? He was also a great sleeper. He would sleep on the bed and he would have elaborate dreams. Not every night, but he'd be kicking and growling and running with his feet. And he knew it was some daring do and he was like the hero in all of his dreams. So he had that inside of him, that need. And, you know, I'd never seen him do anything brave because we lived in suburbia. But he had his moment one summer day, and in that moment, he earned. To this day, it's been unequaled. He earned my utmost admiration. Debbie had come over, the greatest mother in the world, with her two boys, and we were all swimming in the pool. Thor was there. He was hysterical. He had a lot of pool tricks that he'd do. One of the best ones for kids, especially boys, was he would kick and bite at the water. I don't know why. If you're 4 years old, this is hysterical. He'd do it for hours if they wanted. And we were having fun. We called him Paws because it sounded like the music in Jaws. And the biting was, the teeth were amazing. It was thrilling. So we were having a great time. But on this one day, we had an enemy that invaded the pool that was as scary as any shark. It was a huge, bloodthirsty horsefly. If you've never seen one, they're like the size of a little dog. He couldn't even fly. He was so big. But he was fast. And he was hungry. We were cowering under a blue blow-up, you know, grocery store, that $1.99 thing. That's all we had as a weapon. It was losing air because we were squeezing it. That's all we had to defend ourselves. And he'd dive bomb us, and we'd scream. And once we splashed him and he went underwater and we thought it was over and we started to bolt out of the pool, he rose from the dead. And he came after the baby again. We went crazy. We got our little blue float, you know, shield, and just we were so scared. And I'm ashamed to say this, but I didn't help Debbie at all that day. I mean, she was not going to win Mature Mother of the Year award this year. We were scaring the children. We were scaring ourselves. And now we were exhausted. This went on for so long. He would not give up. This fly was amazing. Horse flies are not real flies. They are like clones. They're monsters. So we didn't know what to do. And every time we tried to do something, he'd turn on a dime and he'd go for the baby. So we were like really scared. We had no strategy but screaming. And then we started screaming, help, 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 because it was like 4 o'clock. It started at, I mean, like 2. We couldn't, this guy would not give up. But we thought maybe somebody would come home early. Everybody had their windows closed. AC was on. It was 100 degrees. We were marooned. We had nothing. We were getting really tired. Well, that's when Thor did what he did. He got in front of us. And when that horsefly dive-bombed us again, he opened his mouth. And he bit the fly. He ate it. But it wouldn't die. It was in his mouth. You could hear it. I mean, he was popping around like Snagglepuss. It was awful. And his head kept darting from side to side. We couldn't move. Would he save us? We had no idea. Could he keep his mouth shut? Could he hold on to the fly? We had no idea. Finally, he shook and shook, and he swallowed that fly. I know it was still alive. Oh my God, we cheered and we hugged and we loved on him for I don't even know how long. The whole time, he was getting this huge welt on his bottom lip. I mean, it was as big as a balloon. The whole story still takes my breath away. I mean, he was amazing. Thinking about him kind of helped with that horrible feeling of thinking about him going to the vet. It helped. And it kind of snapped me out of it. I mean, it's still not good, but it snapped me out of it. I was thinking good thoughts. I know you're supposed to do that. I could never do that before. And I'm not sure. It's got to be much harder with people. It's got to be much harder if the memory isn't 40 years old. But I did it. And I'm back in the land of the living. And this should have taken much longer, because when I go down, I stay down. So I just wanted to tell you that. And I just wanted to tell you about this dog. This Thor, this amazing dog, this amazing relationship I had with him. And if you have a similar story, well, I hope yours is I hope it's not similar. I'm sure there are much better ways to break the canine glass ceiling. And I really want to hear your story, though. You can write it on over65andtalking.com. I would love to hear it. I love dog stories. But for this very moment, it's just all about good old Thor, my superhero. Thanks. I'll talk more later. Bye-bye.